KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect. You give me strength when I say I want to be your hand.
Appropriate audio adrenaline, hands and feet. That's going to be some of what we're talking about today. In studio with us, Matthew Ellison, and on the phone, Denny Spitters from 1615.org. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, my brother. Good to see you.
Yes, good to be here.
And Denny joins us remotely. And, you know, as we jump forward into this, before we jump into a book that has come out recently, we're going to cover in depth today. Back up for those not familiar with 1615. And again, I'd drive you to the website, 1615.org. You'll find out all about the work that they're doing. But Matthew, if you can bring us that, well, those that aren't familiar, back to the genesis, really, of 1615 and the mission statement. And the goals.
Yeah. So the genesis is actually at 4001 Osuna Road, which is where we're recording right now. If you don't know, I was on staff as the missions pastor at Calvary for about 10 years, 94 till about 2004. And we had what I would call a missions renaissance as a church. We went from just supporting missions to becoming proactive.
Well, I will tell you, since I was here at that time, it was a joy to watch God work in your heart. The desire to reach people that needed to hear the gospel on a global scale.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was great times. But there was this move of the Spirit, and churches, ours included, was not content to just do missions by giving money. They wanted to actively engage their people. And so we had this awakening take place here, and we talked about that. And other churches around the country started to contact us and said, hey, we love what you're doing. It really resonates with our desires. And so 1615 was born out of my experience here at Calvary. And it was a recognition that the Spirit of God was really awakening many churches to missions.
Yeah. And if we do, say there's a church leader listening. Now, we're broadcasting primarily in New Mexico, Albuquerque, central New Mexico, Las Cruces, Clovis, Cannon Air Force Base, Portales. And there's churches that are listening that don't feel equipped to to actually be those hands and feet that get out and do the work, what would you encourage them to do as far as connecting with 1615?
Yeah, well, you mentioned our website. There's a portal there where you can ask some questions and learn more. But in a nutshell, Steve, we help local churches to really discover what it is God's called them to accomplish globally. Yeah. We help them answer a fundamental question: what is God's purpose for us when it comes to reaching the nations? And then we help them develop a vision that's endemic, a vision they can call their own. We do that through a variety of resources. Again, visit the website. There's a lot of good material there.
Now, you're 20 years in.
20 years in.
Yeah. And we don't need to go through the whole story, although I would love to hear. You need to write a book on that. I'm not sure that that's really what we're going to be looking at today.
Not exactly.
There's a God story there.
Oh yeah.
Somewhere in that story, Denny Spitters.
Yeah.
I'll throw it to either one of you who wants to, you know, where did Denny come into the mix here?
I'll start briefly and then Denny, you take over. So when 1615 started 20 years ago, we were looking for missions organizations that wanted to do missions with churches and not for them. And there's a massive difference. Churches should not be viewed as ATMs by missions organizations. Right. They are God-designed central players and full partners. Looking for orgs that really wanted to come alongside the church, and I found that in Pioneers. Denny was the president of church partnerships there and was 18-plus years. But anyway, over time, Denny ended up joining our team. We had so much fun swinging swords together that he came on board. So, Denny, over to you, brother.
Yeah, it's exactly true, and I've been working with 1615 seconded from Pioneers. They've been gracious enough to see that this is important and that churches are truly given the opportunity to hear and experience that they're central God-designed players, and that agencies want to do things with them rather than for them. So, yeah, it's been a great time over the last, I think it's 3 years now that I've been doing this and coaching churches and agencies in this process.
Yep. But we've been swinging swords together for nearly 20, brother.
Yeah, that's true.
And I will tell you, it's a, you know, in any little part, whether with you, Matt, or other organizations we work with and for, to co-labor together is just humbling. It's an honor. And I can't wait together to be before the Lord and look at what he accomplished through me?
Yep,
us?
That's right.
So let's get to, we mentioned the book that we're going to be walking through, The Sending Shepherd. And let's get to, when did the light bulb, you know, what prompted we need a book, The Sending Shepherd?
Yeah, Denny, I'm going to let you take this first one.
Yeah, this is something that we regularly heard from mobilizers in churches and church members that were passionate about missions. Often we would hear, even when we would do kind of off-the-cuff research, you know, what are your greatest challenges in missions? And we would hear this over and over. How do I get my pastor and senior leaders engaged and involved in missions? I just don't know how to do this. I feel like my head is kind of punching up against a brick wall here. And help me out. How can I engage my pastor? So that primarily led us to the point that Matthew and I decided, you know what, maybe we need to write a book about this, but probably somebody has already written it. So we did some research on that and found out the only thing that we could find that was specifically for pastors was a book written over 100 years ago by John R. Mott, and it was called The Pastor and the Local Church. And, you know, outside of John Piper writing maybe a chapter or two here or there for pastors to consider things in his books, we just didn't find anything that focused totally on that. So it led us to really zero in. And we decided we wanted to do this with a little data. So we hired the Barna Group to help us with data research to find out, is what we're hearing and what people are saying true?
Matt?
Yeah, this study that Denny mentioned was called U.S. Protestant Pastors and Missions, A Look into the Expectations and Priorities of Pastors in the American Church Today. So we didn't just want to write anecdotal content. We wanted there to be some real evidence behind the thesis of the book. And so it's a combination of findings from the study, which is quite robust, but it's got a narrative arc as well. So we feel like it's really readable. It's not like writing, reading a, you know, encyclopedia. It's really compelling.
So we touched on it a little bit because of the work that 1615 does and the service that they provide in training churches. But let's dive a little bit deeper into what is the issue with the church and missions? Like what is it that you're really trying to address? And before you jump into that, Denny brought up something, you know, people coming to you, 1615, and, you know, how do we get our pastor?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, I will tell you this, one of the things that came to mind, and I can't imagine a pastor not wanting to go down this road, although I'm going to guess that there are plenty that don't want to. For whatever you would know the reasons better than I. Mm-hmm. But when in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, I deliver to you first of all, primarily, mm-hmm. most importance, the gospel. We know the gospel is of primary importance above doctrine. Doctrine's important. Don't hear me wrong. but what is, you know, when Denny was saying that, I thought, well, you know what? If I was like, how do I need to pray for my pastor. I need mm-hmm. to pray for my pastor to have that mm-hmm. heart. Matt, I watched mm-hmm. God you know, the Holy Spirit worked in you. But beyond that, mm-hmm. what are the you know, what's happening that the church is like, we're not doing it?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. So one of the things that the Barna study revealed is that missions is rarely taught or preached in churches. So we surveyed, or Barna surveyed, 500 pastors. They have this proprietary audience of pastors, so it's a pretty broad study. And 427 responded. And of those respondents, this is amazing, again, 50% report that they rarely or never preach on sending missionaries or reaching people of other faiths. And so, you know, what's behind that exactly? The study hits a few things. But one of the key things I think that, you know, surfaced was that this narrative arc of Scripture, this grand narrative, okay, from Genesis to Revelation, we have this meta-narrative, and it's about God's redemptive story to fill heaven with worshipers from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Well, oftentimes, the Bible studies or the teachings that are given are disconnected from that narrative. So the Bible has a lot of subplots and stories, but there is one overarching theme. And I think pastors don't see that theme all the time. And there's many reasons behind this. And one of them, frankly, and I don't want to offend anyone, but is topical teaching. Oftentimes, topical teaching disconnects from the grand narrative of Scripture. So, Denny, you want to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, I think that we end up, when we saw that stat, we're like, well, how might pastors weaving God's heart for the nations and the mission of God, let's say, into preaching and discipleship, encourage their churches to see missions as a natural outflow of the gospel? And it's important, I think, to ask that question because it links pulpit priorities to congregational action. And rather than putting pressure on pastors and senior leaders, these questions offer a positive lens. In other words, what if preaching missions isn't an extra burden, but a way to fuel gospel-centered discipleship within the context of their local church?
Okay, so, you know, one word that keeps coming up, and let's be clear in our definition, because people that are listening and they hear the word missions.
Yeah.
Can you define, I could, you know, what I think, mm-hmm. But when you say missions, mm-hmm. what are you telling the church?
Yeah, let me back up just a little bit before I answer that question, okay. Steve. This is also data that came out of the Barna survey. So the definition of missions is confused and diluted. So 45% of respondents said everything the church does is missions, everything. And there is this well-intentioned philosophy. We've heard it for years and years. And it goes like this: everyone is a missionary. It's well-intentioned in that I think the desire behind it is to see people take their faith seriously, to view the world as an opportunity to share the gospel, whether they're at Starbucks or the soccer field. And those are wonderful things. But the problem is this: when we call everyone a missionary, no one's a missionary, mm-hmm. right? There is a biblical distinctiveness between outreach or evangelism and right. missions. And we talk about that in the book. And so evangelism is helping people believe in Jesus. Missions is helping people know there's a Jesus to believe in.
Okay,
there's a difference. Evangelism is the church growing where it's at. Missions is the church going where it isn't. And so there is a New Testament theme, actually Old Testament as well, but of a cross-cultural expansion of the gospel. And so again, it's well-intentioned, but that's part of the reason I think there is some pushback on missions is because we've called everything missions. So, you know, everything the church does, every good altruistic evangelistic work is a missions work. And so they think, well, of course I do missions.
Well, I knew you'd be prepared.
Yeah.
Listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Matthew Ellison. And forgive me if I keep reverting to Matt. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah,
And Denny Spitters, authors of The Sending Shepherd, which, by the way, you'll find wherever you shop for your favorite books. But just do the search for The Sending Shepherd. You're going to find it.
Yeah.
We're going to go into more details about what you'll find in the... Now, the book was recently released?
It actually releases in September.
Okay.
We're doing a thought leader briefing at Missio Nexus in Orlando. That's when it will officially launch, but they can go right now to thesendingshepherd.com.
Yeah. Okay.
They can pre-order. The Barna study that we're mentioning is actually a free download. It's a PDF of the entire study. That's available. Or you can also go to 1615.org/sendingshepherd.
And actually, before we go to a break, I want to ask, because, you know, you've done a lot of work with Barna. Certainly, this information was nailed down. And you know, when you're writing a book, this is something you consider. What is the target audience for the book?
Denny?
Well, the target audience for the book is primarily pastors. However, it really is going to be a valuable resource for anybody that has a desire in the church to see missions grow in their church. In fact, we directly address people who have that burden to really see, as a mobilizer, missions and global missions become a part of what they're doing. So it's primarily, again, designed to directly focus, because of what the study shows, on pastors and senior leaders, in other words, elders or trustees or whatever the polity of your church might be, to really challenge them to be thinking about what this might look like as they really zero in on global missions in their church. That's one of the other things that actually came up that was a dilemma, is that local is greater than global in practice and passion. So 63% of pastors are really passionate about local outreach. Only 27% feel very passionate about international cross-cultural missions. So churches are increasingly focused on local outreach and day-to-day missional living. 58% of pastors say that's what I'm focusing out, with significantly less emphasis on global cross-cultural missions. So it was very low, like around 22% are really passionate for teaching or for funding of cross-cultural missions.
All right. As I mentioned, Denny Spitters, who we just heard from, and Matthew Ellison, authors of The Sending Shepherd. Go to thesendingshepherd.com. You'll find information about pre-ordering the book and information on the book in general. And 1615.org. Don't hesitate to go there and find out more about this organization that can equip your church to do the work that we're called to do. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. Who shall I send? Who will go for me to the ends of the earth? Who will rise up for their king? Here am I. Send me. Here am I.
All right. Oh, a great message from Mercy Me, and there it is, Matt. It's really as simple as that, isn't it?
Yep.
Make yourself available and be prepared for what God may have you doing in missions to take the truth of the gospel elsewhere. And, you know, before we went to the break, Denny had mentioned, you know, the part of the target audience is hoping that pastors will get this book in hand, The Sending Shepherd, written by Denny Spitters and Matthew Ellison with 1615. You can go to thesendingshepherd.com and 1615.org, the latter being the organization, but information about the book for pre-ordering and other information, go to thesendingshepherd.com. But we had mentioned wanting to get this book in the hand of pastors to spur on the need for missions. And for those in the church that may be listening that feel that calling, want to find out more, let's talk about that a little bit, Matthew. Mm-hmm. It boggles the mind that you would, and we talked a little bit in the first segment about this, to come along pastors that there's pushback when it comes.
Yeah.
You know, even if a layperson picks up this book, reads it, mm-hmm. Is more ignited to jump into missions and shares, you know, I just think of a new believer going to, you know, friends or family and, you know, sharing that excitement mm-hmm. about something they feel mm-hmm. the Lord's calling them to and just getting pushed back or a lack of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw that to you. Let's address that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Denny had mentioned we've run into people in our many, many years in mobilization, you know, many people who met resistance in the place you wouldn't expect it from yeah. the teaching or senior pastors of their churches when it comes to missions. And I want to just say before I go any further that we understand the challenges associated with being a pastor, the demands that are on a pastor. And so this book is not a beat down. We don't want to browbeat shepherds. We even chose the title very carefully, Sending Shepherds, Leading the Church to Make Disciples of All Nations. And we've written it with this idea of we want to pull rather than push.
Yeah.
We don't want to push. We don't want to be harsh or condescending. We want to pull sending shepherds into this mission of God. And so recognizing that there's a lot of frustrated mobilizers and missions-minded people, we actually devote a section of the book where we talk to those people and how they should approach their pastor. And one of the things we talk about is their posture. You know, oftentimes mobilizers can be their own worst enemies because this light bulb has gone off and they see the mission of God. They see the grand narrative and they think, why doesn't my pastor get this? And so they become an annoyance. And so we talk about having a posture of humility and wearing your convictions with brokenness and tears. And in the same way we contextualize the gospel when we share it in other cultures, contextualize your message with your pastor. Be a listener. Be a learner. And so there's a lot of content in this book. So if I'm speaking to you, if you're a missions-minded person out there and you're meeting with resistance from your pastor, there's a whole section in this book that talks about how to approach them, how to be winsome. Denny, you want to speak to that as well?
Yeah, I'd just say be a servant in your church. So many people are there to consume, and pastors are the ones that they're trying to consume from. Be the person who comes saying, Pastor, how can I serve you? What is the vision that you have for our church? And how can I be praying mm-hmm. for it? And how can I serve you in that way? And make that a part of what it means to be a member of a local fellowship.
All right. Now, one of the other notes Matthew, you prepared, was talking about biblical encouragement, practical application from case studies, church health missions, not only needed for the life of the world necessarily, but for the life of the church.
Yeah.
The health of a church, yeah. The body of Christ.
Yeah. There's a big appeal in this book, and it's an appeal to church health. I don't think there's a shepherd out there, at least I hope there's not many, that don't care about the health and the spiritual development and growth of the flock that they are overseeing. And when you marginalize the mission of God, when you take this central theme of Scripture and you make it a PS and it's not a part of the culture and the atmosphere of the church, well, that church is never really going to grow into full maturity because we want to be like Jesus. I mean, that's the heart of a disciple. Jesus, I want to be like you. And here's the thing. If we're going to be like Jesus, then the things that matter most to Jesus must matter most to us. And so we make an appeal to pastors. If you care about the health of your church, then find a way to integrate missions into the discipleship process at your church. And you mentioned the quote, missions is not only necessary for the life of the world, it's necessary for the life of the church. David Penman was a bishop in New Zealand, and he said, no local church can afford to go without the nourishment and encouragement that will come to it by doing missions. There's nourishment and encouragement that comes to God's people when they join him in his mission. So yeah, a big piece of this is about the health of the church.
So let me throw this to either you or Denny. As you engage with churches that are showing interest in wanting to build a missions program at their church, and again, not where you're doing the work, But you are training them up how to do the work of missions and fish and go out into all the world. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most surprising as far as, you know, what kind of expectations do they have prior to doing it? That once they start doing it, whether it's the resources that it takes, or how well or not well they'll be received, or, you know, you mentioned earlier in this conversation that, you know, to get out and just tell them the story. They haven't even heard the story of Jesus, mm-hmm. Which when you hear that, and I've heard that before, but man, is the enemy hard at work. You know, it's one thing in the New Testament. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all the things that we have to spread. You know, minutes or hours after Michael Jackson died, most of the world knew. Mm-hmm. You know, and what the enemy is doing to prevent the truth and the story of Jesus to get to people who haven't even heard it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are 7,400 unreached people groups on the planet today, Steve. 7,400, and they number about 3 billion souls. And Jesus is not known at all, or he's known very little among these people groups. And churches have the opportunity to be a part of God's master plan to get them the gospel. And if we look to the book of Revelation, we see the great end that all of history is moving towards. And it is the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the earth. And he is receiving the reward of his suffering, worship that's flowing forth from all peoples, all tribes, all languages. And we have an opportunity right now to be a part of writing that story. And we don't want to miss out on that. That's, again, part of the appeal of the book. And so, you know, what's maybe a surprise? I could speak directly to that. I coached a church last year in Roanoke, Virginia, and they just rolled out their global vision and strategy. And they're engaging the unreached in a remarkable way. And it's a body-wide initiative. They're saying every child of God is being called into this mission. And I was just there during their first week of a 4-week missions emphasis. And let me tell you what was in the atmosphere. Joy, excitement, generosity, knowing that they could be a part of blazing a trail for the gospel among peoples that have never had it.
Now, part of what we talked about was maybe excuses for not doing it. Let's be practical for the person who physically isn't at a place, but in hearing this, they're like, I missed the ball. I should have been physically part of making this happen. And reads the book, The Sending Shepherd, thesendingshepherd.com. But they're not able to physically be a part of it. But there's a lot of ways within your church. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about finding organizations that are already doing the work. We're talking about creating mission programs in the local church. There's ways for people to be involved.
Denny, you want to speak to that?
Well, there is. You know, this is an important piece. To see that mission and missions is rooted in community. Most believers will not leave home and move somewhere else to participate in mission. But what Matthew just gave as kind of a case study example there is the whole idea that it's the work of the whole church and not just individuals. Many times people think it's an individualistic process and it's an individualistic call. But the reality is we see Paul and Barnabas at the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13 being called by the Holy Spirit, being identified the church, and sent out to bring the gospel to the unreached of their day. So to see every believer involved in this process so that it's a church-wide vision and a church-wide goal is really critical and important. And that's the place to really start. Because if you go to a sending organization that is willing to send people, you will find that they're going to almost always ask you, who's your sending church? Who's your community? Who is who knows you? Where are you being sent from? So this is an important part of what it means to be engaged in cross-cultural global missions.
And Steve, I would offer up this simple metaphor of handles. We use it a lot at 1615. So let's just pick the story I mentioned of the church I just preached at. They picked an unreached people group, but reaching them is a complex process. It's going to call forth the gifts and the contributions of everyone in the church. And so they have vision handles.
Mm-hmm.
They have prayer handles. And they really emphasize that. They say the least you can do is the most you can do. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Everyone is called to intercede on behalf of the nations. They have giving handles, financial handles, ways for people to grab onto the vision. They're engaging ethnicities and people groups in their own community. So creating these pathways or handles that people can grab onto, making missions accessible.
Well, and you know, as we talk about it more and more in community like that, because I think when people think missions, they think, oh, Barb and Jim are going to Africa to do missions. You know, we'll send them, you know, and it's good, you know, support them financially.
Sure.
But think of it more like that event you're having, the event that's on your events page, and you're the whole body of the local congregation is behind, you know, someone's, you know, slapping the ladle of food, and someone is setting up tents, and someone is, it's a community of people that make that effective and make that event work.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier too, and we, you know, we both agree, those are fine. Those are great. Missions, however, is the whole local, you know, the whole congregation getting behind the vision of what the church is trying to accomplish when it comes to missions.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and before we put a bow on it, I want either Denny, Matthew, both of you, we're visiting with Denny Spitters and Matthew Ellison, the authors of the Sending Shepherd. Go to thesendingshepherd.com. I want to throw it back to each of you, because if either of you or both of you are sitting there on, I want to make sure we say this before we go. Here's your chance.
Denny, you first.
Well, there's some great stuff that has come out of the data that are strengths within local churches. For instance, 74% of pastors express a strong passion for the Great Commission. That's a very positive thing. And there's a foundation there to build on. And with the right equipping and vision casting, that passion can translate into stronger missions, global missions engagement. Also, missions is recognized as a core biblical mandate. 98% of pastors agree to some extent that the Great Commission is a mandate for all Christians. And so we believe that with the right teaching and resources, and I'm going to use the word process, which is what we're talking about in a local church, pastors can align their church strategies more closely with biblical missions. And that's a key piece. I like what Matthew said before. This is not meant in any way to be a beat down of pastors. We have been or are pastors in some way, some form. I'm teaching this week in my church. Man, it reminds me when I'm digging into the Word and working hard what the cost is for a shepherd to do this week after week, and to care and to counsel. So we're not seeking to add more burden. In fact, if you're hearing, oh, that means I have to lead everything in missions, no, it means you need to be the key champion for this. There's a phrase that I'll give over and I'll let Matthew use as closing up that George Murray quotes.
Yeah, George Murray was former chancellor of Columbia International University, or is former chancellor, excuse me. And he said, when it comes to missions in the church, the pastor either holds the key to the front door or the padlock.
Hmm.
And so part of our challenge at the end of the book is this concept we're calling just one. So let me give a few stats here to wrap up, Steve. There are 4 million churches in the world today. 7,400 unreached people groups. That's a staggering 550 churches for every one unreached people group. So the need is not too big. The problem is not too complex. What if just one church said, we're going to pray, we're going to give, we're going to go until one of those unreached people groups is reached with the gospel? And so what we're saying is one church that would do something catalytic. Change begins with one, and we're asking churches to be one of the ones.
All right. Well, thanks to Denny Spitters, Matthew Ellison, authors of The Sending Shepherd. Do go to thesendingshepherd.com to find out about the book. You're able to pre-order. And, of course, after September, what's the date in September?
September 24th.
Okay, after September 24th, of course, look for it wherever you shop for your favorite books. And go to 1615.org, a great way for you to find out more about getting your church equipped and prepared to do the work of missions and get some assistance in learning how to do just that. Thanks to both of you guys. Appreciate your time. We'll have to have you back in again soon.
Would love to do it.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Danny. And hey, didn't want you to miss this. Go to KLYT.fm. Coming up September 5th, Focus on the Family is releasing a brand new documentary in conjunction with the Colson Center. It's a documentary hosted by Oz Guinness and John Stone Street. It's called Truth Rising. Now, the documentary releases September 5th. You can watch the trailer on the website at klyt.fm. And listen, I'll tell you right now, spoiler alert, a study guide is to follow. But in the coming week, we're going to visit with Jim Daly from Focus on the Family about this upcoming documentary. You're going to definitely want to have your eyes on this one. We're going to come back and get an update from Johnny and Friends, New Mexico, right after this on ABQ Connect.